If it's against the Constitution, then why are we doing it?
I really expected that, of course, there's a law that you can point to in the law book, the code, that requires you to file a tax return. Of course there is.
Used to work the discos, I used to work the door, till I was convicted of a crime I did not score.
I had to leave the IRS because I presented evidence that I had accumulated indicating that the agency was violating the law and violating people's rights.
My sentence, and soon I will be free.
I have not signed that law. I've asked Congress, we've asked a lot of people, in the IRS commissioners, helpers. They can't answer, because if they answer, the American people are going to know that this whole thing is a fraud.
However, there is a substantial, conclusive body of evidence that proves that our income tax system represents the most pernicious form of tyranny. It is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated by government against the working men and women of America.
I will live on islands and I will see the sun.
The judge promised us that he would give us the law. And we looked and we looked and it was not there. We wrote a note to the judge asking for a copy of the law. 10 minutes later, we get a note back. You have everything you need, but there was no law.
Hey, everybody. Hey, welcome back to the latest edition of New World Out of Order. Hey, this edition we're going to do on taxation. This time of year in the United States, we're all supposedly required to fill out and submit our income tax returns. And so it's just kind of fitting that we go ahead and talk about this. It's a big issue. I'm sure most people have come across this sometime in their life about, you know, people who, you know, question the legality of the IRS and the legality of the 16th Amendment to levy income tax on people. You know, I have before. I worked with a guy about 15 years ago who was a anti-IRS activist. You know, he was, I kind of marked him off as being a little off center. He tried to explain his stance on this and just didn't make sense to me. I couldn't make any sense out of it and couldn't follow it. Yeah, just kind of wrote him off. And that's, you know, what I've done and what most of us have done. We don't really look into it. We just kind of write them off as being, you know, because we are, you know, what we hear on the news and on TV and stuff really dictates a lot of our thoughts. And of course, what they drive into our head about this situation is that these are all kooks and, you know, they're just crazy and people that just don't want to pay taxes. Well, in reality, that's not it at all. That is not it at all. Let you know something here that you probably don't know, which hopefully will get you interested in learning more about this. And that is, back in 1984, Ronald Reagan commissioned a study to be done on the waste of government and how they can reduce the waste and abuse of federal government. And so this was actually given to a man named Grace, and the report is called the Grace Commission, produced in 1984. And you can go search for it on the internet. I'll have a link on my website to this. I'll have a link to the cover letter of the commission report. And that's probably all most people are going to want to read or need to read. You can go into the detail and read the subsequent details in additional pages. Okay, bottom line is this report came back and said projected by the year 2000, the federal debt was going to be $13 trillion. I don't think it quite reached $13 trillion in the year 2000, but of course, you know, now we are at $15.5 trillion. Now, what they said is okay, if we do not implement our recommendations, then the federal debt will be $13 trillion in the year 2000. If we do implement the recommendations in this report, the projected federal debt will be $2.5 trillion in the year 2000. So quite a bit of a difference here. Now, the bigger item is the interest on the federal debt. Without the recommendations, the interest in 2000 was projected to be $1.5 trillion. That's $1.5 trillion just on interest alone. With the recommendations in place, the projected interest was going to be $75 billion. Very wide margin right there. And you can go through and you can read the recommendations that they wanted to do. That is not really the purpose of this podcast. The purpose of the podcast is that have people understand a little bit more about what they're legally obligated for as far as taxation, and also, you know, to understand how this money is used. And I'm really going to cover that with about one sentence, and that's going to be one sentence out of this report, the Grace Commission. It's under the heading of resistance to additional income taxes would be even more widespread if people were aware that. And under there, they have three bullet items. So people would be more reluctant to have for income tax increases if they were aware that. And one of the bullet items is that 100% of what is collected is absorbed solely by interest on the federal debt and by federal government contributions to transfer payments. In other words, all individual income tax revenues are gone before one nickel is spent on the services which taxpayers expect from their government. Now, let me kind of regurgitate that a little bit. Make sure everybody heard that. They're telling you, back in 1984, 100% of the revenues generated from tax income is spent solely on paying the interest of the federal debt. None of that money goes to finance the operation of the federal government. Now, I sure hope everybody's jumping off their couch or whatever and going to the computer and starting to dial this stuff up. Because if you understand this, this has got to piss you off. 1984. So this was happening in 1984. You know, it's definitely happening now, and it is. You can go out there. There's many other places that will you know, substantiate this as well, except for the IRS. Now, there again, you would think the IRS, if it truly is a part of our government, we could get audits from the IRS. We could get actually balance sheets and stuff. And from what I'm understanding now is that's very difficult to get in its entirety, and that as it's been requested and been reviewed, the things that they are obliged to contribute every year is very spotty. It's like Swiss cheese. There's a lot of holes in it. Okay. Well, like I said, there's a lot of that stuff into this report. If you want to become aware of the recommendations and stuff, it's all good. And I'm sure these recommendations still apply today. In fact, I know they do. But the point here is that in 1984, they had an opportunity to make these changes. They spent the money on having this report done, and they elected not to do it. As long as everyone understands, 100% of the revenues generated from income tax collections goes to paying the interest on the federal debt. So now, when you hear a congressman talking about how the only choice that we have is to increase taxes, you can immediately call bull right away, because you know that the raising taxes is not going to do anything except to just pay a little bit more on the debt. It's not going to reduce the debt. And of course, the only way that we can do that right now in our current situations is to limit spending. But that's not the real answer either. It is the answer, because this government is way too big. But the real answer is to get rid of the mechanism that generates the debt. And that is not the spending of the federal government alone. The primary reason for the federal debt is the Federal Reserve and the central banks. In our case, the Federal Reserve. Once you understand the Federal Reserve, and then every dollar put into circulation is debt. In other words, we owe more money. For every dollar put into circulation, we owe $1.10, roughly. That's where the debt comes from. The Federal Reserve, through, you know, corruptive manipulation in 1913, had the government agree to where they would generate the currency for a price. And what they do, the inlet to this essential funnel is the Federal Reserve purchasing, you know, bogus treasury bills and creating bogus fiat money, fake money, out of nothing, and injecting it into the economy. That's the input of this funnel. And the funnel, the exit of the funnel is the IRS. Because they realize that if you already put this money in, you've got to take it out. Otherwise, you're going to have just extreme inflation. So the outlet for this is the IRS. And I've read a lot of things here, and I have not been able to prove to myself that this is actually true. I haven't found any actual proof, but that the IRS is actually just a collection agency for foreign banks, and that's actually not part of our government. And that's, I've been able to pretty much prove that, but, and they say it's actually based in Puerto Rico and a lot of. So anyway, I don't really have anything to prove that, so I'm not going to elaborate on it yet, but it is the outlet for the money. Now, this money in the IRS is right now is going straight to the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve is not part of our government. It is a private bank. We're sending them trillions of dollars every year for them. Now, you got to think, they're injecting fake money into the system, taking out real money out of the system, okay? Now, this is the ultimate money laundering system ever. Anyway, as long as you understand that 100% of the income tax revenues go to pay the interest on the federal debt. And that is not by accident. That is by design. And there's nothing being done that you hear all the congressmen talk about. There's nothing being done to eliminate this and to prevent it from ever happening again. The only person who is doing this, there was really two people, but primarily Ron Paul and then also Dennis Kucinich. They're the two, you know, vocal ones, the two primary ones. Okay, now that, like I said, that was the Grace Commission report. Check it out. I have a link on the website, my website, nwo3.com/blog, nwo3.com/blog. And I'll have the links there to this and other things as well. The GiveMeLiberty.org site, I highly recommend these people. Just a great organization. They're the constitutionalists. They're standing up for the Constitution. They're standing up for the American citizens who believe in the Constitution and still believe this country is based on the Constitution and should continue to be based and governed by the laws of the Constitution. Good group of people, seem to be very, very well-organized, educated, and they're doing things in the right way. They just need everybody to get involved. If you ever ask yourself, if you ever hear anybody saying, well, what, you know, okay, you know, I believe what you're saying, I hear what you're saying, but what can I do? What can I do? Well, this is one of the things that you can do. Get involved with a group like this. Just join up to be represented. Okay. You're going to be a voice just by signing up with these. Now, this is not a fee. It's not, you just sign up with them if you agree with what they're trying to do, but you can make donations to them. That's how they operate off of purely off of donations and the sales of their DVDs and things like that. But go check them out. GiveMeLiberty.org and, check out their past and current, but primarily their past redress petitions to Congress as far as the tax situation is concerned. They actually had a meeting in Washington, D.C. Many years ago called this the Truth and Taxation Hearings. And this was as a result of, you know, petitioning Congress time after time after time and getting no response. And no agreement to meet with the citizens to hear the grievances. So they held the hearings themselves. The date for the hearings, you know, were sent out to the congressmen, and their attendance, you know, was expected, but they didn't show up. And but they still had the hearings, and the results of the hearings are on the websites. I think you'll be interested in reading that. Hey, now another great site. This is going to be like a one-stop shopping type site for the taxation, the legality of the income tax, the legality of the IRS. It's a good site. Whatistaxed.com. Whatistaxed.com. And that's taxed past tense with an ED on the end. Whatistaxed.com. There again, that link will be on the website as well. Now, this is organized very well. The presentation of it takes just a little bit of getting used to. It's, it tries to lay it out as simple as possible, as simple as you can with the tax code. But it really breaks it down. And one of the things that it really breaks down is, you know, what is income tax? What is actually taxed? And of course, it's, you know, if you look in the U.S. code, you know, Title 26, Section 1, you know, it's imposed on taxable income. Well, then you have to go and look at the U.S. code's definition of taxable income. And that's Title 26, Section 63. Taxable income means gross income minus deductions. Well, then, of course, you have to go and figure out what are deductions. And, you know, you just keep going on. And it lays it out very well. It lays it out in text. It lays it out in graphical form to where you can see this. And walking all the way through the tax code, what comes out the other end as far as what is taxable income? It is income on foreign people, foreign corporations doing business in this country, foreign individuals doing business in this country, and it is exempt. The people who what is exempt from income tax are non-foreign people. And, you know, that's one of the basis for, you know, the income tax, you know, rebellion, I guess. That, you know, that's part of it, that it's not actually supposed to be for citizens of the United States. Okay, so now I put those two together. You know, what this investigation that these people did comes down and lets you know that the tax code actually says that taxable income is only for foreign companies or individuals. Or actually, people in the federal zone of the United States. Now, the federal zone is Washington, D.C., it's Puerto Rico, it's Guam, it's the U.S. territories, and it's all military bases. Anybody who's resident of those areas are in the federal zone, so they are actually an alien of one of the definitions, one of the government definitions of a U.S. citizen. So anyway, they are actually deemed as aliens, or that they actually have to have the taxable income definition actually does apply to them and also to foreigners, but no one else. Okay. So now if you understand that, and then you understand that we are being, you know, made to believe that everyone is supposed to do this and everyone has been paying their income taxes, you know, put that alongside of knowing and understanding that 100% of all income tax revenues go to paying the interest on the federal debt. In other words, the interest on the federal debt is money for services being paid to the Federal Reserve, which is not a government agency. So now does it make sense here? You understand why they made it so income tax so complicated? According to the Constitution, they could not levy income taxes, direct taxes, without being apportioned, or indirect taxes. That's according to the Constitution. And according to the U.S. income tax, the tax code, the Internal Revenue Tax Code, they don't do that. That's not the way the law is written. It's written so that the only people that are susceptible to income tax are foreigners and foreign corporations. So they aren't violating any law as far as how the law was written and how their official operations. Now, what they do is they make people think that they have to do this. And it's actually stated in here, somewhere as far as the voluntary status of the income tax. In other words, the people who are required to pay are the federal individuals the foreign individuals and foreign corporations. The people who can voluntarily pay income tax is everybody else. So everyone else is voluntarily paying income tax. Okay, so now you understand this is a way to get money for the Federal Reserve, okay, and the central banks and essentially the bankers, well, the Illuminati, and there again, that's, if you didn't listen to my last podcast, you know, the Illuminati, They're a real group. It's a real deal. You can just go investigate them. Check out my podcast. Check out my website. You find the history on them. It's nothing. The only people who say the Illuminati are a figmentation of conspiracy theorists or whatever, you know, are the uninformed people. Because go out there and look. Nobody's denying the people in the Illuminati, the people with inside the government, the people with inside the Council on Foreign Relations. There's nobody denying that the Illuminati are real. They are real. They're just as real as the Skull and Bones. They're just as real as Bilderberg Group. They're just as real as the Round Table. They're just as real as any of them. So don't get turned off by the term that the government likes to portray as being conspiracy theorist, you know, terminology, whatever. So anyway, income tax is a funnel directly to the Federal Reserve. And anyway, whatistax.com is a great website. It's really good for breaking it down to where you can understand exactly what the stance is, you know, for questioning the IRS and the income tax laws. Now, the other primary thing that you probably heard about the subject is the 16th Amendment. And was it really officially ratified? Heard this for years. You know, go out there and look. And sure enough, it was ratified. 1913, it was, it all appears legal. And it states in the 16th Amendment that Congress is allowed to levy income taxes on individuals. And it just all seems to be, you know, legitimate. But there's substantial proof that the amendment was never legally ratified. And there was a guy who put together a book on this, put in a great amount of time putting this together, a guy named Bill Benson. Now, he is discredited left and right by probably the government or whoever on the internet. But if you search hard enough, you'll find the real story on Bill Benson. Bill Benson collected, he actually was an investigator within the Department of Internal Revenue. He was, I think, in the Criminal Investigations Unit when he uncovered all this stuff, and he actually uncovered a lot of fraud that was going on. And he was, I'm not sure if he was fired or actually forced to resign because of what he had uncovered. But anyway, he went out there and he has assembled over 16 or 17,000 official legal state and federal documents documenting the fact that the 16th Amendment was never officially ratified. And he compiled this into a book, and it's called The Law That Never Was. And there's two volumes to this book, but really volume one, from what I read, I haven't read the total of both books, but volume one is supposedly the one you need to read. And I've been reading excerpts from it on the internet. I don't have a copy yet, but definitely plan on getting a copy. But once again, it's called The Law That Never Was by Bill Benson. And he goes into detail, shows you these documents, and you can go and check them out for yourself. Now, curiously, a lot of these documents, since this book coming out in 1992, I think, or early 90s, maybe late 80s was when he put this book out. Since then, some of these documents on record have disappeared. Go figure, right? What a coincidence. So anyway, check that out. Whatistax.com is a great, great place to understand where the questions about IRS and taxation is coming from. Now, there again, you still have to decide whether you believe this, and you have to go out there and do your own research. But these guys have done their research, put it together in a nice way to help get you started. Another place that I'd like to talk to you about is IRS whistleblowers. And this is an area we need to pay attention to, because these are people that, internal people within the IRS, people that worked there, they were IRS agents, they were part of the criminal investigation units or whatever. But on the whatistax.com website, they have a tab, a menu selection that is called IRS whistleblowers. And check this out. You're going to find it interesting. They're going to give a brief summary of what these people are about, what they went through, what they've endured, and what they're uncovered. And then, of course, they give links to their particular websites where you can find more information. A couple that are really going to stand out to you is a guy named Joe Bannister. He used to be part of the Criminal Investigation Division of the Internal Revenue Service. And he uncovered a lot of fraud, and he quit his job as a result, and he's dedicated the rest of his life to educating the American people and getting the IRS eradicated. Very interesting story there. Another one is Sherry Jackson. Sherry Jackson is an ex-IRS agent. She's a CPA. She was a certified fraud examiner with the IRS, worked for him for 21 years. A Sherry Jackson situation was in the news a little bit several years ago. She uncovered the fact that the income tax law was actually illegal and that the IRS was actually a fraud. And she came out and started going public with that and giving speeches and writing books about it. And the IRS and the federal government came down on her pretty hard. They ragged her for many years. And of course she knew what she was exposing herself to. But she's a true American. She's a true patriot. And she realized that, hey, the importance of this issue is bigger than her. And you've got to give her credit because, you know, she's a mom. You know, she has her family, but she knew what she was getting into. Anyway, Sherry Jackson was sentenced to 4 years in jail, I believe, and she's currently still in jail. And go check out her website, wakethepeople.com. And actually, I tried to get on there the other day, and it was dead, unfortunately. I'm not sure if she's taken it off or someone else has taken it off for her. But there's a lot of other information out there that you can get on Sherry Jackson to just find out what it is that she was preaching, what it is that she finally learned and was getting out to the people. Another one is a guy named Joe Turner, is a IRS revenue officer. Same thing. He uncovered, you know, the truth about it. A guy named Clifton Beale, a guy named Paul Chappelle. He was he's a former IRS Office of Counsel attorney. So he was an attorney from the IRS. And he was, you know, charged with, you know, he was the guy that would actually prosecute you. He learned what was really going on, and he turned over a new leaf and started actually trying to advise the public. Like I said, it goes on and on. There's many people out here. This is on the whatistaxed.com website under the IRS whistleblowers menu item. So go out there and check that out. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised in what you find out here. Like I said, there again, I'm not promoting the fact that people do not pay income tax or do not pay their fair share of tax to the federal government in lieu of legally provided federal services. Now, the reason I quote it that way, or term it that way, is because the federal government currently provides a lot of services which are not legal according to the Constitution. Legally, there's just a lot of services they are not supposed to provide. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, okay? But if we're going to provide these services, we need to make sure that they are created legally and with the true consent of the people. So, but like I said, I'm not advocating not paying your taxes. Okay. All I'm saying is we need to understand what the taxation laws really, really are, what the hidden agenda of the IRS really, really is. Okay. And we need to get the fraud out of the system so that everybody can pay their fair share of taxes and that those tax revenues collected can go towards financing the proper services that the federal government is responsible for providing. That's it. And that's what really all of the IRS activists, tax activists that I've come across that I kind of align with, that's the same viewpoint that they have. So don't get me wrong. I'm not, you know, an irate citizen that says, oh, I'm just not going to pay my taxes, whatever. No, that's not it. Everybody needs to pay the taxes, just your legal ones. There's an attorney that goes by the name of Paul Andrew Mitchell from Washington State. I'm not sure if he still lives in Washington State. Rumor has it he's living in the San Diego area now. And he's kind of living undercover. This guy's years ago he's a very, very smart guy, and he's very thorough with his investigations and things, but It sounds like he might have had some mental issues, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't even say this. But, you know, there's just a lot of talk. It could be just disinformation, you know, propaganda put out there to discredit him or whatever. But anyway, Mr. Mitchell runs a website called supremelaw.org, and he has investigated the tax situation, the IRS situation, with great detail. He published a book called The Federal Zone back in 1992, and it gathered a lot of steam, and it gathered a lot of hatred from the government, who tried to suppress him and this information. But the supremelaw.org, go to that website, check it out. Go to a particular page in that website. It's called 31 Questions and Answers About the Internal Revenue Service. Here again, I'll have that link on my website as well. And I might even have a few of these questions and answers posted on the page as well. I'm just going to read you through just a couple and give you a summation of some of the answers here. It's just going to take way too long to go through every one of these. But the thing is whether, irregardless of Mr. Mitchell's mental state or whatever, what's depicted on these pages here, you can go out, and you need to do this with anything, that any information that you uncover, is to verify it, okay? I've gone out and verified what I can. There's a few things I haven't been able to 100% verify here, but, okay, the first question is the Internal Revenue Service an organization within the U.S. Department of Treasury? No. The IRS is not an organization within the U.S. Department of Treasury, and the reason that he says that is because there is no official mention or record anywhere of when and how the IRS was created. And he quotes a case here that was heard. The Supreme Court heard this case, Chrysler Corporation versus Brown, 1979. The U.S. Supreme Court admitted that no organic act for the IRS could be found after they searched for such an act all the way back to the Civil War. Now, I've gone through, and searched, like say, any amendments, acts, all acts of Congress and, executive orders, and also the U.S. Code. And he's right. There's nothing in there that actually creates the, IRS. The IRS on the Department of Treasury's website, the IRS is listed as a bureau of the Department of Treasury. Okay. So, now, here's one that I haven't been able to actually prove. I'm going to mention it anyway, just because, you know, I really truly believe this is true, but I can't actually prove it, okay? If not an organization within the U.S. Department of Treasury, then what exactly is the IRS? Well, his answer is, the IRS appears to be a collection agency working for foreign banks and operating out of Puerto Rico under color of the Federal Alcohol Administration, FAA. Different FAA than what normally comes to mind. He continues with, but the FAA was promptly declared unconstitutional inside the 50 states by the U.S. Supreme Court in the case of U.S. versus Constantine, 1935, because prohibition had already been repealed. Okay, you know, but some of the things we've talked about with the tax situation and how the money goes, we know that the money goes 100% to the Federal Reserve, and that is a foreign bank. It is a foreign entity. What he's saying here is IRS appears to be a collection agency working for foreign banks, and that's exactly what it appears to be. There again, I can't substantiate that. I can't point you to anything that actually proves that, but that's, we'll just leave it at that. I'm going to thumb on down here a little bit more. He goes into the 14th and 16th Amendments about them being officially ratified. One curious thing he goes into about the 14th Amendment, which abolished slavery, is that amendment actually legally declared there were two classes of citizens in the United States. There were the citizens of the United States and citizens of a state. And since then, Mr. Mitchell documented where there's actually three official definitions for a U.S. citizen. And the reason that that even matters at all is his basis for questioning a lot of this, or his approach to arguing these cases, was not on, you know, specific law, but it was actually on jurisdiction of certain laws. And the jurisdiction where that comes in is the definition of the citizens and the definitions of what the United States is. And that's the reason that he came out with this book called The Federal Zone, because the Federal Zone is, and it's like I say, it's not a question. The Federal Zone is the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico, Guam, all the American, the U.S. territories, and any American military bases, whether they be here or be overseas. Any citizens of those areas or regions live in the Federal Zone. All right, so let's. I'm going to continue on down here. Let's see what other questions we have. And he goes into a lot of these questions now are concerning this, the definition of the citizen. And then he cites some more cases. One of the famous cases was Frank, I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, Brushaber, Brushaber. And his case was Brushaber versus Union Pacific Railroad Company. That's a real interesting one to look into. That was in 1916, and that was a case that was heard by the U.S. Supreme Court. It's very interesting. They ruled against Mr. Brushaber, but the details of that case is what makes it interesting. Go check out this. If you really want to educate yourself, this is the kind of stuff that you're going to go look into. And there again, you're going to read these things, and you have a responsibility to go out there and research these and prove these to yourself that these are true. Because like I say, it's already in question that this guy who wrote it is now, perhaps not then, but maybe a little bit mentally unstable. So, you know, but that doesn't discount anything that is he has said here. In other words, if what he says here, you can go out and prove it's true. It doesn't matter how stable or unstable the guy was. It's true. The truth is truth. And if it's untrue, it's untrue, and it's marked off and washed away, and you don't even need to consider it. So, all right. I think we'll kind of wrap it up here. Like I said, Grace Commission, check that report out. GiveMeLiberty.org. Please go check out a group like this, if not this group, and get involved. And that's the least that you can do to have your voice heard on all of these things that we as American citizens are being confronted with these days. WhatIsTaxed.com, the best one-stop shopping for your questions, curiosities, and answers as far as the legality of the IRS and the income tax. WhatIsTaxed.com. All right, guys, listen, I appreciate you listening, and we will check you out next time. Take care.